Almusal is better when shared together. You better get your sinangag ready and listen in on conversations about UX, product design, and life from two hungry designers cooking their way to make sense of a messy design world. Heated conversations over breakfast may include product design breakdowns, building design organizations, self-improvement as a designer, and stuff you probably should listen in on if you want to level up as a designer. In this very special first episode, Christian Sonose and I, Alexis Collado, your hosts, talk about why you should get into a product company as a UX designer. We talk about important stuff like understanding the difference in design process for product and agency companies, designing for outcomes, joining startups in their growth stage, and other tips and tricks to help you get into the product space. And at the end of this episode, we're also announcing our new UX conference, so be sure to listen until the end. So is your longanisa ready for almusal? If yes, then let's kick it off with the first episode.
Hey everybody, welcome to UX Almusal. Welcome to UX Almusal. I'm Christian San Jose. I'm here with
Alexis Collado.
And yeah, it's a new podcast that we just thought up because there's not enough of it, or there's too much. I think there's too much of podcasts.
So this is a scam. Yeah. We're just too...
Yeah, we just wanted to make a new podcast for Alexis to get more famous.
Yes.
that's the goal.
Make me more famous, guys.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. All right. Let's first introduce ourselves. Yeah. Go ahead, Alexis.
So, hi, everybody. I'm Alexis Collado, and I work as a product designer at Caliber. It's a talent marketplace where recruiters can find quality candidates, hire them, manage them. We have over like 2 million quality candidates on our platform. And
Y Combinator startup?
Yes, it's a Y Combinator startup.
As Alexis always describes. Is that the most important part?
It's the most important part. It's because it's the first YC startup in Southeast Asia.
That's nice. There have been, I know one more, but we can talk about it later. But yeah, like that's a great place to be at, I'd imagine.
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay. I'll introduce myself now. Okay. I'm Christian Sanase. I'm a designer. I've been designing for a long time, a little too long. I'm head of design at First Circle. We're a fintech product company. We help SMEs essentially get better access to financial services, starting with loans. And we've been around since 2016. Recently got funded, and now I'm building out the UX team. That's basically what I do. Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about? What?
I don't know. So I think today we're going to talk about why you should get into a product company and how do you get a job in a product company.
As a UX designer. As a UX designer.
Yes, as a UX designer.
Okay. So Alexis, let me ask you this question. How did you get into Caliber, or like did you even know that you wanted to be in a product company like Caliber when you started as a UX designer?
In some point in my career, I already wanted to be part of Caliber. The reason being, it's one of the only product companies in the Philippines that have like a functioning product design team. But before going here, I actually interned around 5 times. And yes.
That's a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
It is a lot for your typical, you know, designer. So 2 of those internships were for product companies. The first one is with freelancer.com.
So shout out to Riza, Riza C. And my official internship that I got from for my actual class was at Agoda. So I interned at Bangkok, Thailand. That's where the HQ is, right? And yeah, because of those two experiences, like I figured out that, oh, I want to be in a product company. Because it's kind of different from your, it's kind of different from being in a UX agency, because you could get to practice like a deep level of design. You're involved in doing something from scratch up until you ship it and then up until you measure it. Like that's a different kind of practice that could help you level up your career.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to like balance or like at least compare the different experiences you had? You mentioned you had five different internships. Did you had internships outside of product companies that allowed you to contextualize that your decision was the right one? Or
Definitely. So I also interned for ad agencies. That's at Nuworks Interactive and at Jump Digital. Yeah, you were my first. Like, if you didn't know, like guys, CSJ was my first mentor. It's kind of different, right? Like, if you're in an ad agency, it's kind of fast paced, and you're at the mercy of your client. And I think, unfortunately, in the Philippines, there aren't a lot of very engaged clients who know how to build out their like design direction, I guess. It's as if the design is driven by the deadline, right? So if you're working in an agency, right, you're following, you're designing to meet the deadline. And when you design something and you finally build it and you hand it off to the client, that's it. Like, you're not tracking any metrics. You don't know if the design actually works. Like, you just create it and you hand it off and that it's done.
I kind of understand. As you mentioned, I was in the agency world for around 12 years. So that's quite a long time for me to be in the servicing, be a designer in the servicing industry or like in the agency world. But yeah, I definitely get your point. It's there's an idea of like throwing things over the fence, like throwing designs over the fence. Essentially what that means is you design something and then you throw it literally over the fence, and then you pray when it lands on the client's lap that it's essentially how you like thought about, like they essentially see what you wanted them to see, but you don't know because you threw it all the way there rather than involving them in the process or like being having them there contribute to whatever you're designing from the start. So kind of it's one of the things that you get from an industry like, or like a country like the Philippines, where there's a lot of companies and we value design to a certain extent, but it's still in its very early stages of understanding the real value of good design and good product. So yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit more about your experience? I think you didn't pursue your college education to do like a agency style design firm, right? So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, like when I started out, like I was a freelance designer because that's the only career path you're gonna get. If you start out with design, essentially you sell your designs, or like other people value whatever you do and they give money to you, give you deadlines and everything else. So it's a way for me as a freelancer when I was starting out, very young, probably like 13, 12 years ago, as a 17-year-old kid, not knowing anything, and then money just comes in. It was a way for me to scale up. The amount of money I got was essentially to build a company or be part of companies that serve bigger clients, essentially. And it was a path that I was on for a long time. But with as I moved from company to company, like from when I started my own, like I did that for 5 years and then I sold that and moved into like the agency world, like into a digital agency like Jump Digital, and then eventually to much bigger agencies before like quitting a career that I've built, and then essentially like transitioning to a product company, because you can only do so much, as you mentioned. You can design for all industries, but you'd see a typical pattern where after you've handed it over, essentially you'll have to start all over again for the next client. Like you'll go through this whole cycle of having them understand or having them buy into the value of what you do, and then go through this process, and then you deliver to them, and then it's essentially cut off. Like you don't see your design all the way through. You don't even see your design in the hands of actual customers. It's more of you hand them off and you hope and wish they use it as you wished you intended it. You wished it could be. So after I kind of figured out, like, okay, is this going to be my the rest of my career?
Is this it?
Is this it? Like, so yeah, I moved to a product company essentially.
Okay, now that you've moved to a product company, how are you adjusting to it? Right, I mean, majority of your experience was with the agency world. You know, like pitching all the time, right? Talking to clients, convincing them that, oh, you should actually take this design direction. Like, how are you adjusting now?
Essentially, when you're selling design to a client, you're selling the whole value of what you do. So the value, like top line value, this is going to make your company better. You're going to get more clients or customers or whichever. So essentially, you have to start from the scratch. Like in a product company, you don't have to sell as much because the way you operate is baseline is they understand what you do, or to a certain extent they do. And now you have to literally work and like prove at in every like release or in every thing that you design, you have to prove what you say. Like you sell by your work, you sell by communicating, you sell by you sell your process, you integrate with others, you essentially grow your silos so that there are no silos. Essentially, you take on more work than what you'd imagine. So essentially, like that's all you have to do to see your design all the way through, or to like communicate like the value of what you do. It's really deep work. Yeah, essentially that's that. So I've adjusted, I guess, nicely, because it's somehow like I tried to find a company that's mature enough or like understands the value of design enough so that I don't have to sell so much from the ground up. Like bottom up, I don't have to sell. It's more of, okay, now that they understand, or now that I'm here, probably what can I do to really maximize my stay here?
So I think a lot of companies in the Philippines are still stuck in the convincing stage, right? Like you still have to talk to the executives, negotiate, persuade them, influence them, and hopefully and pray that, you know, they respect your profession, right? And I think that's a very difficult situation to be in. And personally for me, the reason why I didn't pursue like a career in an agency, or I was very picky with the company I was choosing, is because that could limit her growth a lot. Like instead of just focusing on, you know, the actual work of designing and talking to customers, understanding, building your design decisions that are based on, you know, like problem solving, majority of your work is taken up by, you know, stress factors that don't even relate to design. Like, but those skills are still important. Like, don't get me wrong. You still need a lot of communication and influencing skills.
Yeah. Like, would you say that this path would lead you to build your own company eventually? Or like you want to gather enough skills to eventually figure out what you want to do? Do you want to stay in bigger product companies, or stay within your current company and see that all the way through? Like what's the North Star for your UX design career? Like, yeah.
The reason why I joined a product company is to literally understand how product works, right? How does design fit into the product organization? Like, how do you orchestrate the creation of something valuable to other people, right? And I'm learning a ton of stuff that I wouldn't think I would learn in a different environment, I would say. So So what are some examples of what I'm learning, right? So for example, if you're in a product company, you really want to know or you really want to nail down understanding what the value proposition of your company is. Like for example, for Calibre, the problem we're solving is all about hiring. And as a designer, you'll need to really understand what hiring is made up of. So all people hire, but there are like three things, right, for you to be able to hire. So the first is you need a talent pool. You need like a database of candidates to choose from. That's number one. Number two is you need a way to attract those candidates. That's why employer branding is important. That's why you post on Facebook all the time or like you create content. And then a third is you need to be able to manage those candidates, because I know like SMEs do it like through email or like spreadsheets, but what if you're like an enterprise company, right? So Calibre does all of those three for you, and that's the value of our product. And you need like a deep understanding of the problem your customers are trying to solve. Like what job are they trying to do in order to design well for that? And that kind of experience is something that you'll get if you're inside a product company.
Yeah. I'd say that, yeah, I guess one of the most important parts of like being a UX designer is not just like the actual design, but being in the right place, or like the right environment for you to design. So it's really important for you to get a job in a company that's mature enough to value you, or it doesn't have to be an issue that your work is valued in the first place. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like you're kind of focusing your energy on the right problems, or on better problems, not the right problem, but it's all problems are good problems, or hopefully. But yeah, like it's kind of very similar to how I tried to find, like after I like wrapped up my agency career, like I tried to find other companies. I tried to apply in Calibre. I talked to Paul as well. to some very similar UX mature product companies, whether they're agencies or like elsewhere as well, not just in the Philippines. And looking at everyone across the board, it's not just always about the salary or like the benefits, or do you work from home? It's more about, okay, like, are these people smart? And would they, do they understand the value of what I do? Do they understand the position of design? Like how design can affect them? Do I have to sell it? How much work before I actually get my hands dirty? How much like preparation do I have to do? And yeah, so it's good. It's good to be in a good place like Calibre, and I'd say First Circle as well. There are other companies that are as good. Like there are a bunch that I know of, and yeah.
What factors do you think show that you're in the right environment, or how would you know that the company you're joining is made up of like really smart people where you could grow?
So the factors I looked at especially was like how much designers do they already have? What has those designers done so far? Are they in the latter part of the process? Are they involved like from the start, from like the inception of say a new product or a new feature? I looked at that. So I talked to like designers within First Circle when I joined. Fortunately, it was easy enough that it was just one designer. A shout out to Jan.
Hi, Jan.
But yeah, after like looking at the day-to-day work, of course, I looked at the broader scope of the company, like how much funding they have. If they have funding, essentially that gave me an idea that they're onto something, or it's kind of value. They have customers, they have, they're solving the right problem. So I can try to figure out like how design fits. I just looked at, of course, like day-to-day work, like external factors. It's basically that.
I think it also depends on what stage of the company you want to join, right? As, you might join a product company, right? And probably they're all startups anyway. And luckily for us, like we're in like The real, really well-funded startups, and it's not totally the same for other companies.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
Yeah, for sure. So there are many, like, I tried to study or like try to understand, like, what's a Series A company? What's a Series B company? What's a mature company like Facebook doing in Singapore, like Grab doing in Singapore? Like, how is that different? Who are the people that are gonna surround me if I chose one over the other? So I looked at that as well. It's good to be in early stage, like Series A or Series B companies where essentially you're at the growth stage. Like, it's fast paced. You have to deliver. You have to be, you can afford to be wrong, but you should be right, kind of. So there's a lot more things at risk. And yeah, I imagine it's very fast paced in Calibre as well.
Yeah, it's fast. I'd say it's fast paced, but not as deadly as, you know, like you're working, survive another day. We have a bit of more runway than most companies, of course. Like, I think the company was founded in 2012 and it's still alive. Like, most startups die within, I don't know, the first or second year. I don't know.
First month.
The first month. So I think for a designer to really get the most out of it, this is my personal opinion. I'm not sure if I'm right. The product should have product market fit. That means you're solving a real problem for a real customer and you're getting paid for it.
How I define product market fit, like I learned this from one of the other podcasts probably, like a good definition for me, product market fit is your product is so good, like the value of your product is so good that regardless of your design or regardless of whichever you put in front of the customers, they'll crave or they'll consume whatever you give them. Regardless, so it's a good problem to have. Okay, like, okay, we have customers regardless if our UI, UX, our product is shitty or our process is shitty. How do we make it better? And you typically see that in Series A companies, which is a good problem to have. Okay, like, this shitty experience has gotten us this far. If we put in design principles and then we put in a process that validates our bad assumptions, or like probably we'll get somewhere better. And you see that, and it's exciting to be in, like driving down like bad conversion rates, or like racing up bad conversion rates, or cutting down like drop offs, like immense improvements by just not even doing the whole design cycle, but just implementing good design principles, like anything that you know from your instincts, from your experience as a designer, has an effect. It's kind of exciting to see that, like, in 1 week, you're gonna drive customer like acquisition a bit higher, like drop off or retention a bit better. Yeah.
These products already have like a huge user base, right? So whatever you do, you can measure it. So like, for example, for me, I redesigned our internal Net Promoter Score survey such that we wanted to get more responses. And when the devs implemented that and we shipped that to our recruiters, I think it got like a 60% increase. And that's huge for, you know, that's something you could be proud of when you're designing. Contrasted to being in an early stage startup where, you know, everything is the unknown. You don't even know if your beautiful UI design is gonna get you to product market fit. Because sometimes it's not about how beautiful the thing is. It's not about how easy it is, I think. It's all about whether you're solving a real problem for a customer. And that's where I think early stage startups are focusing on. And if you're like a fresh grad designer, I don't think it's advisable for you to do that. The reason is, well, this is my personal opinion again. The reason is you probably don't have enough experience with, you know, creating business models, understanding economies of scale, for example, or like unit economics enough, well enough to to drive like a really successful product. But that's my opinion. Like, I think if you've done product for a while and you've seen it being done in like a growth stage kind of company, and you take those learnings to an early, like if you're finally gonna start your own at in someday, like that would be fantastic. Like you would know how to like really craft your value proposition. You'd know how to pitch to clients. You'd know how to develop the business, and you know how, you know, how customer success is incredibly important to building your product. And these aren't things that you can just learn in like an ad agency, I guess. Yeah. Like it's completely different. It's completely different when you're in a product company. That's why like I personally encourage people to join product companies. Yeah.
Right. That's good to hear. But yeah, like I tend to agree. By default, because of my bias being in a product, another product company, I'd say that there's a lot of learnings that I got from the agency world. Definitely, like how to sell, how to talk to different types of people, understanding not just like their understanding. Understanding how they understood me as a designer or understood me, the value of design. So that allowed me to be a bit more mature, or like have a broader sense of, okay, these are the people I'll eventually work with if the project works well, or these are the types of projects that I'll handle. So it's very broad, but being a product company gives you deeper problems and essentially exercises your whole design muscle. Okay, like it's not just about doing pretty things, designing pretty UI. It's more about, okay, like after I've designed this, is there a better way to communicate this to, say, a stakeholder? Or should I just be designing low fidelity so I can facilitate a conversation first? And then rather than pushing this to production, should I test this first to user? So you have these many paths which you can take freely versus the opposite way where you would be in a service company where somehow the path would be structured for you, where it would be typically waterfall, like you design, you have it done, you send it for approval, and then you develop, and then send it for approval, and then it's finished. So it's kind of like a one path project, whereas like in product companies, you essentially forge your own path. So yeah.
Right. So I definitely think that for the designing for product companies give you a more fluid environment to practice your design process. So that means, like personally for me, I'm a product designer. What that means for me in my company is that I'm in charge of the whole process. There's a tendency, like the whole design process, and I'm not just an order taker. I contribute to informing the product strategy, like where are we gonna take the product in the future, or how is this gonna affect our business model? Like how does this support all of the other functions? Well, if you're a UX designer, you're probably fixing like usability issues, like optimizing interface flows, and some other stuff like that. But if you're in a product company, you get to actually inform, let's say, like your product roadmap. Like what kinds of new things are you going to build? Did you experience that in your stay at First Circle so far?
Yeah, definitely. Like you're, of course, you're a valued member of the team, especially like if the team's already established. You have your say. You essentially stand for the customers if you're a UX designer. And you work with product managers or product owners and tech leads or like business unit heads. So you essentially have to work as a product owner and use your design skills to not just execute or like get orders and like execute it, but also facilitate conversation. Like design is not just about the output. To a certain extent, it's your process that leads to an outcome. So that's why there's design sprints. That's why there's design thinking. And it's not to say that designers own the process just because there's the word design in there. It's more of, okay, like there's many methods or mental models to use on to tackle this problem. What's the best way for this situation? And like taking everybody's point of view and then facilitating that conversation so we can lead to so the whole process can lead to a better outcome, essentially. So yeah, like definitely there's a lot of that in First Circle.
So it's not like a cookie cutter process, like in any, let's say, product decision or product design project. You get to choose which methods you apply, and in a product company, right? If you're not a lot of designers, so the tendency is everyone's a generalist. So that means he kind of need to know a little bit more about everything. So you're probably doing user research, and you're also doing the visual design up until to. Some designers actually have like coding experience as well, so you probably know front end web development too. Design systems. Like maybe we can talk more about that. Yeah,
for sure. Like there's so many things. Like once you get to a place where okay, I can execute. How will I do it? That's the one of the hardest questions to have in a product company, essentially, because. Would you know that like chart where there's like many methods to validate ideas? There's like this user research chart where there's attitudinal, behavioral, qualitative, quantitative, and then once you plot out the things you actually do, it's just in a tiny bit. It's a tiny corner of the whole. Like there's so many things that you haven't done, and puts a better perspective of okay, like we haven't done so much yet. Like we've done some, and it has gotten us this far. But there, we have to learn a bit more so that we can execute a bit better. So, yeah, there's so many things. There's not just A/B testing. There's like surveys and different types of surveys, and then observation, and then remote observation, and then interviews, and then going .
And it typically also depends on. How you want to specialize, I guess, as a designer. Like, there's this new trend. Well, it's not really a trend anymore, but in high growth companies, you tend to hire like a growth designer, right? And we don't see these in like the Philippines, I guess, but in Silicon Valley, most of the other companies have it. That's one thing. Where you're a product designer, but you're focusing on growth. So it's like your AARRR metrics, I guess, like acquisition, retention, referral. It's like you're actively building on those key metrics and you're designing for that. And that's how different it could be, like if you're in a product company.
Yeah, the growth design role, or say, you focus more on retention. You focus more on the other parts of the funnel. So there's many things. There's many flavors of designers. Definitely, there's also a path that would lead you to say to a UI engineering specialization. Say for example, in First Circle, we have Jen. He focuses on the design system a lot. Like he has those skills to essentially take the static designs we have on Figma and then translate that to workable front end work, which essentially you're not just doing it so that the design could be perfect or how you'd imagine it, but essentially that works as a way to facilitate better conversations between developers, because they can focus on say the back end or like integration with React or other components within the framework of whichever product you're building. So there's many ways, like depending on your skills and your interests, there's many ways you can take the skills you have as a product designer a bit deeper, and really depends on you. You can be a UX strategist, you can be a researcher where you don't even touch Figma, but you not just research, but also like take the point of views of the stakeholders or the business unit leaders, right? So yeah, there's it's kind of exciting as well, and to a certain extent it could be as broad or it could be as specific as you want it to be. Yeah,
I think to end this podcast we should ask, how can people get into like the product space? Like if there's any advice like we could give, like how can they get in?
Probably do the Alexis Colliado route and have 5 internships and be super underqualified when you're starting out and then overqualified when you're ready to graduate. That's a good way. That's always a good way. Internships or like volunteering or like doing case studies on your own, trying to not just like, of course, as a designer, you'd think about the UI or like, but it's really more about the process. If you want to get noticed by product companies, that's how I do it. Like probably a bunch of case studies, like a bunch of content, like a bunch of Medium blogs. That gets you ahead of the pack, essentially. And that's how you'd get the product designer role. Other than that, like be very active in the community. There's UXPH. There's we have a new conference coming up as well. It's UX Plus. In August, so like be involved in the communities or like even like Dribbble meetups or like Figma meetups. Like try to present something, try to present a case study, or just try to get to know other designers around you. Probably that's a great way to get started in this career.
And actually just talking to other designers, right? I think
start a podcast.
I think if you want to be a product designer, just go and talk to all of the other product designers in the Philippines. Probably also like don't limit yourself to just talking to people here in the country. It's a Filipino thing, right? Like we tend to close ourselves off to just, oh, I'm just going to be here forever, right? There's this kind of mindset that we're not as ambitious as other people.
Yeah.
Right? I think
we like to be comfortable.
Yeah, like people in the Philippines love to stay in their comfort zone. So definitely encourage to go out of there. Go talk to even foreign designers. Like let's say you want to become a product designer at Facebook someday. Like just talk to Facebook product designers. Like just message them and you know, ask them, "Oh, I'm looking to become a product designer someday. Do you have any advice for me? Or like, what's it like being a product designer at Facebook? What's the typical day-to-day like?" And you can also actually, like, and the internet is a broad place. This is why podcasts exist. Like, you can just search for their name and they probably have a podcast interview somewhere. And then you could get a lot of insights from that and you could model your career after that. And that's like a really great way to start thinking about shifting to becoming a product designer. So yeah, I guess that's it.
And apply to Caliber and First Circle.
Yes, just apply to our companies.
Because we need product designers. This is the whole point actually of this podcast.
To hire people, yes. Do a podcast and just
ask me. We make Alexis Colliado famous. But other than that, like, this is just a conversation.
Yes, just so. That's UX Almusal. Thank you for having Almusal with us.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to the first episode of UX Almusal. You can find out more about UX Plus by visiting uxpl.us. That's UX Plus. We invited speakers from Google, Dropbox, Twitter, Grab, and more, so we're sure you'll have fun. Early bird ticket holders will receive an exclusive shirt, so get them now before they run out. That's it!